2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
As we head into hour number two and the final one for another week of the show, it's a pleasure to have you with us again this morning for KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim Hughes, we got a full house here. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. WYO Charlie.
Good morning.
I don't know why I have to think so hard about that. I keep wanting to put the Y up front. That would make
some
you from
us,
the Yukon somewhere.
Some of us just call Charlie.
Navadomskis is back in studio with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And you brought along our Samurai Eddie.
Yep.
And we'll talk to Eddie coming up here, Samurai Eddie, in just a couple of minutes. I want to jump into our conversation, though, with Doug Messerly, who is one of our law enforcement officers with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Faith Jolly, Doug, suggested that we connect with you as we head into the fall hunt season here and just talk about some common mistakes that people make out there and how we can hopefully help people avoid those mistakes. Things like a deer you shot on public land that then ran onto private property and died, or you shot and killed what you thought was a spike elk to discover that it was actually a cow elk. These kinds of things happen all the time, and to fishermen too, right?
Right.
What kinds of incidents do you find most of the time?
Well, the most common violation is taking wildlife without a valid license. That's a common thing. And fishing, that usually happens when people have let their license expire or just didn't bother to get one before they went. And hunting, it happens when people misunderstand where their license is valid for. And or they apply for two or three licenses. We offer the opportunity to apply for up to three choices. They assume they drew one, but in fact, they drew a different hunt, and they don't take the time to look at their license and make sure that their license is valid for the place where they like to hunt. So those are common mistakes that happen. And again, another time when this happens without a valid license is when a person chooses to harvest an animal for themselves and someone else in their party. The second animal they harvest, they did without a valid license. And so that becomes a real problem for us. And away we go. So
how does something
the most common ones.
How does something like that get reported? I mean, there pretty much has to be a witness to that if you're shooting one for somebody else in your party, doesn't it?
Yeah. There very often is a witness. Someone who finds that objectionable for some reason will call and let us know that happened. So
yeah.
And you know, the other thing that happens is there are. If a person shoots two animals at one time, for example, there are other hunters in the area, and they know that that's wrong, and so they will call and report it.
Yeah. There's two different things going on here, I would think. One is that you have reckless behavior on the part of some, and they know what they're doing is wrong. The other is making what you might call an honest mistake, and some of that comes down to just knowing where you are. And for fishing, that might be knowing what the limits are on that particular water. For hunters, it might be knowing where the private land is and where your hunt area is. And those mistakes, I would think, would probably come up on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, that's true. You know, what we encourage people to do, whether they're hunting or fishing, it varies a little bit. But, you know, review the regulations. The regulations change on a regular basis, and before you go, take some time to look it up and make sure that you know what the regulations are, what the fishing limits are, for example, if you go to a lake, what kind of fish you can keep and what kind of fish you can't. We have slot limits on some of our waters. And if you just take a minute and look that up before you go, It's a kind of a sad situation when the fishermen all get out in the boat and somebody says, what is the limit? And nobody knows. It detracts from the whole experience. But if you take the time to look it up or throw a current fishing proclamation in your tackle box so that you're sure you have one with you and you can check while you're sitting there fishing, that's a great idea. When it comes to hunting, again, some basic things. Look at your license. See which hunt number you drew. Look at the season dates. Take some time to look up the map. You can look up the map on our website for all of our hunts and print a copy out, or you can obtain one from a DWR office. And make sure that you're hunting in the right area. And also make sure that you have a permit for the right animal as well. So it can be confusing. We have a lot of different licenses, and our boundaries change some each year, so it's a good idea to review that every year. And I think if a person will take the time to review the boundaries, review the regulations and the changes in the regulations, and look at their license, a lot of people would avoid a lot of uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. And I would imagine, and I need to apologize to the listeners because we're kind of broad brushing this just due to time. And I don't want to confuse people or worry people about, telling you what a particular fine or a particular charge is going to be against you. But I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that based on whether it was a reckless act or whether it was something that was innocently done by mistake, that the penalties are sort of in line with that. Is that true or not true?
That is true, and we take that in consideration as we investigate any given violation. And there are people that go out intentionally to break the law, or they find themselves in an opportunistic situation where the fishing is really good and they just can't stop, for example. and in those cases, it becomes a knowing violation, an intentional violation. And the penalties for committing crimes knowingly and intentionally are more significant than those people who make an honest mistake.
Yeah.
If a person does make an honest mistake, one of the things you mentioned was hunting spike elk, for example, and shooting a cow elk. The best thing a person can do is accept responsibility for that, contact DWR, and self-report. Now, it's not required that people do that, but in the end, the consequences of that act will be much less than a person who does not report it or ends up wasting the animal, for example. Although the act of killing the wrong gender of animal may be a mistake, the act of intentionally abandoning it and allowing it go to waste becomes a knowing and intentional violation.
Yeah. Navi avoids this, by the way, most of the time by being a catch-and-release guy.
You know what? He said guys get on the boat and not know what the limit is. I went, I don't know the limit. But I'm a catch-and-release fisherman, so I haven't really paid attention.
Right. That's fine, and that's probably a good way to stay out of trouble. But a lot of us Utah fishermen, we like to take some home.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I was just looking at the numbers, and we have to go back a couple of years for these. But in 2016, 77 anglers and hunters had their licenses suspended. 2017, that number rose to 86, then slightly decreased last year to 84. This year, 71 Utahns have had their license suspended as of September 20th, so we may be on pace to have one of those bigger years here. Is it necessarily always the case or a percentage of the time that a license is taken away?
No, it's a low percentage of the time. Again, it comes in order for a person to lose their hunting or fishing license privileges, we have to find that the offense was committed knowingly, intentionally, or recklessly. And it's a low percentage of the time in terms of our overall citations. So it requires that a person act intentionally and in order for them to lose their hunting privileges. That's actually a fairly low number relative to the total number of citations that we issue in the year, which I don't know that number, but it's above 1,000.
Yeah, and by the way, you may not just be surrendering it for a year. It might be 2 or 3 years, depending on the level of the crime or the mistake. And notable that license suspensions in Utah are upheld in all other states in the U.S. except Hawaii. So it's not like you can jump the border and go fish Colorado or Wyoming.
Right. Yeah, the Interstate Wildlife Violator Compact is what that's called. And that's been quite a deterrent to people violating crime, as suspension is also. The Interstate Wildlife Violator Compact provides that if you're suspended in Utah, that your privileges are suspended in all the member states, and that's pretty much all of them, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Doug, so great. Thanks for your time. And, you know, the best place people can go other than the field to check out, you know, where they're going to hunt or where they're going to fish is to go to the division website, which is wildlife.utah.gov, and then click on the particular page and make sure that you look at all the guidelines. And there are even maps up there for you to look at. Doug Messerly is one of the law enforcement officers for the division here in the state of Utah. Thanks for your time, Doug.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope everybody has a good time out there this fall.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I also want to make mention as we wrap up this segment that today the Division of Wildlife Resources is having a free day at the public shooting ranges, and you can go and shoot for free. The fourth Saturday of September is recognized across the U.S. as National Hunting and Fishing Day, and this year that falls today, September 28th, and to celebrate, free and discounted shooting is available at Lee K Public Shooting Range, located at 60th West and 21st South, and the Cache Valley Public Shooting Range, which is 28th West and 200 North in Logan. So if you want to get out there and take advantage of that, today would be the day to do it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors in just a minute.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, we've talked a little bit about the change of weather, and it does feel like this weekend we're going to get there with 40s at night, and we're going to stay in the 50s on the tail end of these storms that are passing through over the weekend and linger through Monday. There are some deadlines coming up for skiers out there that we want to make mention of. We were talking camping, winter camping with Charlie a little bit earlier. Let's talk skiing here for a minute, and to do that with us, as always, from Park City Mountain Resort is Jessica Miller. Jess, how are you?
Hi, Tim. I'm great. It's, oh my God, the fall colors up here at Park City are just so beautiful right now. I think with all the moisture from last season and the summer, like, things are just on fire. And we had our first snow, so I know everyone's thinking about winter.
Yeah. One of the questions I did not get a chance, and I totally forgot, guys, to fill in the blank, and I apologize to our listeners, too. I was going to ask you in our news of the week, the thing I like about fall in Utah is blank. One of my favorite things is the changing of the colors, and it's just spectacular. But for skiers, it's also like you start to feel the winter coming on and you get excited.
It's so true. It's a little bit of a wake-up call, I think, for all of us. I know, like, I love summer, but that excitement for winter is really building. And the snow on the slopes a couple weeks ago just makes it even more real. And that means it's time to get your ski pass if you haven't already. And like you said, we do have a few deadlines coming up here soon in October. So for those wanting to ski at Park City Mountain this season or at any one of our Vail resorts, take note that October 13th is going to be the deadline for passes, and that also includes our Epic School Kids program. So for those kids and families wanting to ski next season, our Epic School Kids Utah offers 5 days of free skiing or snowboarding at Park City Mountain next season. It's a free program, and all you need to do is go online and sign up by October 13th.
Yeah.
There's no purchase necessary. It's all free. 5 days of free skiing or snowboarding at Park City Mountain for Utah kids aged kindergarten through fifth grade. So October 13th, make sure you get online and register before then.
One of the toughest things for families, and I know if they haven't done their research and if they haven't listened to this program, that we've certainly talked enough about it, Nevinovskis. The challenge for moms and dads is they just don't think they can do it with families, but there are so many ways
Absolutely.
Around it.
Look, everybody says, skiing, that's too expensive. The bottom line is, if your parents ski, you ski. And the real key is this. If you don't ski, help your kids ski. We live in the greatest snow on earth, and there's so many opportunities to learn. It's like living in Hawaii and not surfing. It makes zero sense to not know how to ski if you live here, and it's really affordable. We make it easy for kids.
It's so true. And like I started skiing at 6 years old. I still do it. I love it. That's why I live here in Park City now. It kind of shooted me into my career. And it's just so much fun as a kid, even if you're doing ski school or skiing with other kids or skiing it with your family. It's such a great way to bond. Me and my brother and my dad still ski together. And I got to tell you, you're right. The greatest snow on earth is right in our backyard. And with programs like Epic School Kids, even the Ski Utah pack as well, really great opportunities to get up on the slopes and explore the resorts up here right in our backyard.
You know, there's another option that we haven't had a lot of chances to talk about. We mentioned it when it first came out, but that's this Epic Day Pass. That's new, too.
That is new. Thanks so much for bringing it up. And what's really cool about the Epic Day Pass is it offers so much more flexibility and accessibility to reach the resorts. So essentially what it is, Tim, is it's part of our Epic Pass ticket options, and instead of having to go for the full season's pass or even the locals pass, you can choose a pass for up to 1 to 7 days that you can use on days of your choice throughout the season. And that's going to give you about 50% off from the lift ticket or the ticket window tickets when you arrive at the resort. So if you plan ahead and buy now, you're going to save a ton of money rather than walking up. And then you also get a walk directly to the lift. So you'll get your passes in advance, and you can walk up right to the lift and get that pass.
Can you give us a ballpark cost on that day pass, Epic Day Pass?
It kind of varies throughout the season, but right now I think they're starting at about $109 for 1 day. And when you add more days, that also impacts the price. And if you add holidays, that also impacts it a little bit. So the best option for you is to go online at epicpass.com, and you can put in your dates. Think about how many days you want to ski. Again, that day pass is 1 to 7 days. If you're looking to do more, especially if you're a Utah skier, I would definitely suggest the Epic Local Pass. And that is pretty much a season's pass, just with a few restrictions around holidays like Martin Luther King or Christmas. And then I also want to remind people that really exciting, this year's Epic Pass offers a select amount of days over at Snow Basin. So you not only get to ski at Park City Mountain, you also have Snow Basin right in your backyard as well.
Yeah. I've kind of lost track of how many resorts are on the pass. I apologize, but it seems to change on a regular basis.
You and me both, Tim, and that is the exciting part. The other day we just announced the acquisition of a group of Peak Resorts. So that includes a lot of resorts in the Midwest, Mid-Atlantic, and also the Northeast. So a lot of smaller resorts there that really give people the opportunity, and closer to cities like near Chicago, or even I think there's one in Missouri, really the opportunity to start and have the gateway to the mountains there, and then they can come ski at the larger resorts in the West. But really exciting. I mean, you can ski in Japan, Australia. There's a few resorts in Europe that you can get to on your pass as well. So it's the offerings are just incredible, and it really gives you the opportunity to chase the snow and go where it's snowing. Or, like me, I like to just ski at Park City. I love it, and it's really awesome and convenient to just hop on that lift and enjoy the season and all the snow that we're really looking forward to.
Real quick, are the summer activities done now?
Okay, the summer activities actually end at the end of this month. So if you're looking to come up, we will be operating this weekend. I know we are thinking there might be a little snow in the forecast coming up right at the end of September, beginning of October, but we will be open through September 29th this weekend, and then we're going to take a little break before gearing up for winter. And reminding everyone, right now our scheduled opening date is going to be November 22nd, and hopefully we will start blowing snow here soon as the temps drop a little bit more in October, and then really gearing up for an awesome winter season.
Yeah, it's fun to hear the resorts that have activities planned, you know, before the end of the month, but oh, bummer, we had to cancel them because we got snow.
That means we're moving. It's cold here at night, Tim.
I know.
I go out and walk my dog. It's chilly.
I know it is. All right, Jess, thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks as always, Tim. Appreciate you guys.
Stay with us. Coming up after a news update on the half hour, Bob Grove will join us, and we'll talk about why winter is a great time to get down and explore Bryce Canyon. It really takes on a look that you won't find any place in the world any other time of the year. So stay right there.